Introduce Guillermo Arriaga, the superb screenwriter, one of my favorite screenwriters working today, who's the author of 21 Grams and the upcoming film that is, I think, being shot right now, Guillermo, right? Isn't Babel being shot right now?
Yeah, they have just finished shooting it.
Okay, just finished shooting it. And it was partly shot... can you give me the rundown on Babel? Because I'm really interested in this thing. I was told briefly about it by Fernando Meirelles. I haven't been able to read it, although I'm keenly into reading your stuff. Because I thought when I first read Amores Perros, I said this is going to be exceptional, and I really like 21 Grams, and I just love your writing. Just from a good read standpoint, I know that we all say that. I'm sure you've had this experience yourself, but when you read a script. And then you go see the film. It's not quite as exciting because you kind of know what the layout is. But yet I found it. 21 Grams was sort of took the idea that you wrote out on the page, and made this tapestry effect even more vigorous and fascinating than it was on the page. But I'm sorry, I'm talking too much. But Babel is like 21 Grams, and it's like Amores Perros, from what I understand. It's 3, 4, 5 stories interwoven.
Can you talk about it a little bit?
4
stories interwoven. One takes place in Morocco, another one in Japan. Take places in Morocco, one in Japan, and one in Mexico City.
Okay.
Not Mexico City, in Mexico. I'm sorry.
All right. And obviously shot in those cities. Can you? I don't want you to reveal anything that's going to take away from the excitement of seeing it when it's done. But can you give me a bit of a rundown about what the film is about or what it's concerned mainly with?
Yeah, it's. I can tell you about the theme of the film, which is more important to us. It's about misunderstanding among human beings.
Right.
And how many times we are suspicious of one another when there's not really always a reason to be suspicious.
The stars, the people that you gotten to appear in this film include Brad Pitt, and I'm going to just name the names that are familiar to people listening to this. Brad Pitt is one. Cate Blanchett is another. Gael Garcia Bernal is a third.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm afraid that's about it as far as recognizable names. Are there others that I should be mentioning?
Well, those are the actors more known.
Right.
There are some unknown actors, but this is going to be a surprise that Alejandro is preparing to everyone.
Right. I take it everything was done on location. What was the sequence of location? I take it you went from one country to the other. How did you, where did you go first and where did you end up?
Well, since I was with all the three burials tour,
yeah,
to Cannes, and then I haven't been able to travel with the shooting of Babel.
All right.
So I really don't know how was the shooting and the order of how they shoot it.
All right. Well, I believe I got from Alejandro when I spoke to him in Toronto when 21 Grams was first being shown that he said that he had added some embroidery of his own to your original script. Was that the case?
No, I don't think so. I think that in 21 Grams is basically the same screenplay I wrote.
All right.
And basically the same structure. And... what makes me happy about 21 Grams is that the film is very close to the screenplay.
Right.
And even in the structure, I think they have switched like 4% of how the structure of the screenplay was. So I'm happy of how the film worked, and I'm happy how much it respected the screenplay.
Now, I've asked you this before, but we can just go over this again briefly. Since you are very closely associated with Alejandro González Iñárritu, do you guys sit down and write together? Do you write on your own and then just sort of give it to him and say, here it is? How do you guys work together?
Well, I write by my own. I give the script to him, he makes some notes, and that's how it works. But basically, it's I write by myself.
do you guys, when you know you're going to work together, do you kind of talk something out and kind of hash it out that way, then you go off and write? Or do you, what creative input does he have, I guess is what I'm really asking, into the script, apart from, I guess, wanting to work with you?
Well, basically, I pitch him the ideas of the film, and I go over myself, I write, and then I come back and he begins to make notes. Okay. He gives me notes, what he thinks and what he needs, and that's basically how it works.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me, Guillermo, when, at what point, film festival audiences might be first seeing Babel? Is there?
I don't have an idea.
Is there a rough idea that it might be out this year?
Alejandro?
Yeah. Is there a rough idea of it might possibly being done for viewing somewhere this year, later this year?
No. I really don't have a clue.
Yeah.
I'm right now. I'm producing a film.
Because it does have
next Monday, so
you're going to see it next Monday.
I have been, yeah, on Monday.
Yeah.
So I have been a little bit out of Babel, or for the Babel process, with the three burials and with this new film. But Alejandro can be the best one to control.
Because according to the IMDb, it says that it's supposed to be out sometime this year, but exactly when I don't know. But I'll ask him. I'll ask him. This is
I think he will be the better one to answer to these questions.
It's kind of well known, Guillermo, that both Amores Perros and 21 Grams are based on a terrible trauma that you personally experienced with some friends in a car wreck when you were hunting in Mexico, 10 years ago? Longer than 10 years ago?
Longer than 21 years ago.
21 years ago?
Yeah.
Would you mind recounting that story again for those that haven't heard it?
Yeah, we were on a hunting trip. We were 7 of us, 4 adults and 3 children. We were heading to the state of Tamaulipas in the northeast of Mexico, going through very hilly country, huge mountains, and the driver, it was 6 in the morning, he had been driving since 12 in the night, and he felt tired, and for some reason he lost control of the car, and we rolled down from a very steep cliff, like 60 feet, we went down, and I was sleeping in the back seat, so I woke up in the middle of the accident, and you can imagine all the sounds that an accident has, the glass breaking, the motor hissing, the rocks hitting against the metal, and when the accident was over, it's, you know, a silence, like 10 seconds of absolute silence. And then the screams. Fortunately, no one get seriously hurt. The kids, we were safe because we have the coolers on the top of the car, and that's why we were safe. But I lost my nose, all the bones of my nose, I lost them. And since it was a very traumatic experience, because I woke up in the middle of the accident, I was recapping what happened before the accident, during the accident, and after the accident. And after that, I began writing screenplays that has that begins with an accident. The first one is called Upon Open Sky, which hasn't been filmed.
I never tire of hearing that story, I guess, because I think anyone has been in any kind of horrible physical trauma, obviously that sort of thing reaches right down to the right down to the bottom of your psyche. It really I would imagine it'll never leave you. And yet, in a perverse way, if you look at it from a standpoint of creativity, it produced two wonderful films. Do you look at it that way, or there is an upside even of the worst things.
Yes. You know, I always have to say that it doesn't matter to have pain, but pain has to have a use, you know?
Yeah.
Especially for someone that writes, pain cannot be lost.
Right.
You have to use it for something and keep it for something.
Yeah.
And in this case, the most painful experiences of my life have been using them to write a screenplay. For example, 21 grams came from an infection I have in my heart.
Right.
And that's how, you know, your personal experiences mingle with imagination and observation makes the work for a writer.
Was there a personal element in the writing of Babel, or was it something else? Can you tell me about where that came from?
Well, as many of my stories, this one came from a hunting trip. So, and it
Babel came from a hunting trip?
With some themes that are personal to me. For example, the way of the dead and the surviving ones, forbidden loves, accidents. So it keeps the same themes. It's like the same thing going again and again and again and again, trying to look at from different sizes, from different places. I'm sorry, from different places.
Mm-hmm. I know that. Did you say that? Let me understand that. I don't want to misunderstand you. Did you say that Babel, the origin of that, or where that sort of came from, was a hunting trip that you went on?
Yeah, hunting trip.
Because I was going to say, wasn't in a way, Melquiades Estrada was also came from in a sense a hunting trip that you
exactly.
took with Tommy Lee Jones.
Both themes were. I got the idea on Texas and Tommy Lee's ranch.
Yeah.
By the way, so the three burials came from a hunting trip. For me, hunting is very important. I know it's not politically correct now to be a hunter. But when you hunt and you get into the real meaning of hunting,
mm-hmm.
You get in the verge of very truthful things. The division between death and life, the division between beauty and cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to have a sense of belonging, that you belong to something. And you realize that you belong to nature.
You had known Tommy Lee Jones before you got together for this. He had contacted you, I believe, out of his enthusiasm after having seen Amores Perros. Isn't that how it went?
Yeah, that's right. I received a phone call first from some people associated with him and say, you know, Tommy Lee wants to work with you. They pitched me a remake from an old film and I told them, you know, I do not write other people's ideas, I only write originals and suddenly Tommy Lee called me to my cell phone by surprise and say, hi, I'm Tommy Lee Jones in Spanish and say, hi, how are you? So, you know, I want you to have dinner with me, and I like Amores Perros a lot, and so we have dinner, and then we were hunting together, and while we were hunting, the idea of making a film together come by, and that's how The Three Burials was born.
Yeah. You know, when I saw it in Cannes, I remember there were some critic friends, their initial reaction was that this was one of the best Sam Peckinpah films they had ever, you know, I mean, it was better than a lot of Sam Peckinpah films. I mean, he hasn't, you know, did you have that, what did you think when you first heard that? I mean, obviously that's a compliment, but it kind of reminded me in some ways of Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia, not that much, but a little bit. Did you have any reactions to that comment about, are you a Sam Peckinpah fan? Are you a...
No, I even had to rent Bring Me the Head of Fredo Garcia because I had no idea what was about it. And now this I try that my stories came basically from life itself and from my imagination. It's if I take something from another author, for example, like I like taking things from Rulfo, Shakespeare, and Faulkner, that my major influences, is basically the way they approach stories more than the themes or the things they are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So this really was originated from watching a couple of coyotes eating something at the distance, and I imagined them eating a human corpse, and that's how it began. I didn't have an idea of what was the story of Bring Me the Head of Pedro Garcia.
Yeah.
I remember with I like very much Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. I saw it when I was 18 years old, I think, or 19. And I like that film. That's a Sam Peckinpah film I liked. But really it's not that I am a Sam Peckinpah film, which doesn't mean that Tommy Lee is not a Sam Peckinpah film. But as I recall, Tommy Lee's influence for this film is basically Kurosawa, which Tommy Lee really likes a lot.
I have a feeling that ought to be and should be in the near future directing yourself. Do you have a hunger for that? I have a feeling that you do.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and I have been directing documentaries and short films. Now, as I told you, I'm the sole producer of a film here in Mexico, based on one of my novels.
All right.
And I will try to direct next year, because really it's something I liked since I was very young.
You intend to make it and finance it from Mexican sources, or is it going to be an international production? How do you...
I think it's going to have to be half and half.
Right.
I have my own producing company here in Mexico.
Okay.
And maybe I can get some of the financing of the film here.
Right.
What will I... Because it's like... This is part of another trilogy I have.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I'm like obsessed with the border. And this will be the third part of that trilogy that began with the three burials. And this is like different. This is from Mexico to the United States. The three burials was from the United States to Mexico.
Sorry to have missed it. Can you tell me again the title?
It's The Deer's Son. Son like the sunlight.
All right.
You know, it's not at 6 p.m., in the north of Mexico, the south of Mexico, is the time when the deers go out.
Okay.
And at 6 p.m. is the time they execute the prisoners in Huntsville, Texas.
6 p.m., interesting.
Yeah. So it's an analogy of both situations. It's a movie about destiny.
Funny, from an anecdotal sense, when I hear of 6 p.m., it sounds curious because the... In America, they tend to execute condemned prisoners just after midnight,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Really?
For whatever reason, yeah.
Okay, because they told me that they execute them at 6 p.m. in Huntsville.
Oh, maybe I'm out of date, I don't know.
Well, maybe I'm out of date. Yeah.
There's a film on the IMDb that you have written. It's called El Buffalo de la Noche.
Yeah, that's right.
And the director is Jorge Hernandez Aldana.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that what's going on with that?
Well, that's the film we're shooting.
Right.
Next week.
All right.
I'm very happy about it. I think that Jorge Hernandez is going to be a director. Everyone is going to listen about it.
Where does he come from? Do I know him from anything, or? I mean, has he done...
No, this is his first film.
First film.
Yeah, but I'm right. Sure he's a great director.
Young guy?
I found him while I was a juror in Venezuela,
uh-huh.
in a short film competition.
Right.
And when you're a juror, you see a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah.
And suddenly this was this little jewel in Polish.
Right.
And I say, who directed this masterpiece? And I look out, and it was related that this Polish film was directed by a Venezuelan.
Yeah.
So I introduced myself, and I said, I would like to work with you. And when I was looking for a director for Night's Buffalo, I hired him.
Mm.
And I'm very happy, and I think it's the best decision I have made.
So you are the producer, obviously, as well.
I'm the producer and the co-writer.
Right.
Because I only accept writing with someone else when it's adapting one of my own novels.
Yeah.
In order not to be incestuous. Mm. And I think that Jorge made a wonderful job.
I've been saying ever since roughly around the time of Morris Peros, maybe around 2000, around 01, that every, and this is of course not true, but it seems from my perspective that just about every film coming from all countries south of the U.S.-Mexico border, they all seem to be so vital and strong and out there, and there just doesn't seem to be a phony bone in any south of the border filmmaker's body these days. It's everything is great that comes out. I mean, I'm talking about Argentina, I'm talking about Mexico, but everything. But you almost would be assured that it's going to be really exceptional. Now, what I'm talking about is, of course, is that the best films are making their way into my orbit. But I'm really, it's a great time for Latin American cinema, if you will. It's been that way for several years, but it just doesn't seem show any signs of ebbing.
Well, I'm happy that's going on right now because Latin America, suddenly we have like a cultural crisis where we have bad cinema and bad literature.
Uh-huh.
But suddenly I think that all these strong things that are going on in our societies have a way to be expressed. Once I was telling that for some American directors, violence can be funny because they do not experience real violence. And here in Mexico City, for example, in Rio de Janeiro or Buenos Aires, violence is very raw, is very close to you. And it's not funny.
Yeah.
It has severe consequences. And making a living here is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like in the States where you have a lot of social mobility. Here in Mexico, the social mobility is very, very small.
Yeah.
So people have to have much more imagination and much more vitality in order to survive. And I think that has, in some way, affected our way of doing cinema.
Would you agree that that material comfort? Well, I don't think this is a radical thing I'm saying, but material comfort, complacency, having a nice, bountiful lifestyle doesn't seem to be the greatest thing in terms of for a creative person. Any kind of adversity or difficulty is always better, as you were saying before. Even trauma, everything can be made into a, it seems to contribute to art that is of an adverse nature. The easier your life is, the more affluent your life is. I would think it's actually a bit more difficult. What do you think?
Well, I think that everything is reduced to have an inner life. If you don't have an inner life, you cannot write even your experiences, the most painful traumas. In Latin America, we have different writers. For example, Borges, who come from a very wealthy family.
Mm.
Jorge Luis Borges was a great writer. He didn't experience great pains until he got blind at 50. But before that, he was a very pampered child who lived in Europe and in Argentina. And he was very good. He was an extremely good writer, and he didn't have to have this tough life in order to write about it. And then we have Juan Rulfo, who had a very painful life, who had the raw experiences of his family and himself, who express them. So it's the way you can interpret the life you have, what makes a writer good, not only the experiences. Because many times, many people have good experiences or very painful experiences, very strong experiences, and they don't know what to do with them. And then it's people like Jane Austen, who had a very calm life and knew how to to approach this life to make it interesting.
Right. You know, I just have this idea that that you and Benicio del Toro are going to make something someday. I just had this flash the other day when I was thinking about interviewing you today. Have you guys kept in touch? Do you want to work together? Have you ever talked about ideas together?
No, we haven't talked about ideas. Of course, I will feel it's a privilege to work again with Benicio. I think he's one of the best actors of the world.
Yeah.
And he's a very good man. And I would love to work with him again. I respect him a lot. And there's a story about him that no one knows, but when we were doing 21 Grams, my kids were with me in the shooting.
Mm.
And every time they say cut, Benicio went to play with my kids so they will not get bored. So I will be thankful to him for doing such a gentle and human thing.
He's very good with kids. It's funny, when I was at a party once about 4 years ago with my 13-year-old at the time, and he went right up to him and you know, gave him a hug and everything. There just seems to be something naturally, you know, he goes to kids right away. Something about that.
Yeah, and someone that likes kids like that is someone I would like to work with.
Yeah.
That means that he has a spirit and he has humanity inside him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course I would like to work with him.
Yeah.
He's one of the actors I would like to work again with, like Tommy Lee. Well, all the actors I have worked with, I think they are quite excellent.
Right.
Gael, Emilio Echeverría in Mexico, Vanessa Bauche,
yeah.
Sean Penn, Naomi Watts,
yeah.
Benicio, Tommy Lee, Barry Pepper,
right.
Julio César, Melissa Leo, which I had the chance to work with her again.
Mm. You haven't, out of curiosity, read or heard anything about the Che movie that Benicio is working on or is going to be doing with Soderbergh, do you?
I don't have an idea what's going on with that project.
Yeah.
I really lost contact with Benicio.
Yeah.
You know, living here in Mexico is not easy to
to
have the same kind of relationship that I will live in L.A.
Yeah.
I haven't moved to L.A. because I always say I like to keep my edge.
Sure. You got a place here when you come, or do you just stay at hotels when you come here?
No, I stay at hotels.
Yeah.
Oh, it's too expensive, L.A.
Yeah.
For a Mexican to afford.
I love that moment when we happened to run into each other at Tower Video. I loved that you were just wandering around Sunset Boulevard like me.
Yeah,
looking
I
for
remember you talking about what was going on with your internet site.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember calling if you need my support.
Uh-huh. Well, I've put the Tommy Lee Jones Melquiades Estrada, the film, on my 10 best list. A lot of other people have, and it's certainly one of the best reviewed films. How has it done? I don't even know. Has it opened in Mexico and other countries? And how has it been received?
It opened in France and Switzerland.
Yep.
And Belgium. I mean, made very well there.
Mm.
We have been excellent reviews and excellent box office in France and Switzerland and Belgium.
Yeah.
Which are the only places where it has opened.
Right.
And I think we're opening in February in the States and in Mexico.
Yeah. Well, I hope it does as well as it should, because everybody should see it. It's a film that stays with you, and I intend to see it at least another couple of times between now and when it opens, because and the realization this is an exceptionally moving and a great film in mythic terms, because it's one of the great for me, on top of everything else, it's a great outdoorsy Texas-Mexico experience film. It really is, you know, you feel like you've got dust in your pores from watching it, you know.
Yeah, what we want to make, Tommy and I, it's a very human film.
Yeah.
We wanted to make a statement of how important is life, and the importance of real friendship and to trust each other. And as I told you before, in a world which is growing suspicious, to be suspicious everyone of the other. So what we want to make is a very human film. And I think Tommy Lee is not just a great actor, and he has shown he's a great director.
Yeah, without question. Well, Guillermo, thank you very, very much for taking the time to speak to me from your home in Mexico City, and best of luck with Buffalo de la Noche, and I can't wait to see Babel later on this year, and I hope that Three Burials does as well as it, as I said, as it should. I think it should be seen by everyone.
Jeffrey, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Be well, and I hope to see you when you're in Los Angeles again.
Okay, perfect.
Take care.
See you, Jeffrey.
Bye-bye.